Yeah, so anyway, my name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and you know, if we can't have fun in the house of God, where can we have fun, huh? You know, we just like to have some fun. But as I want to thank you all for being here, I want to thank you for taking time out to worship God with us as a church family. Because when you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, if you're part of a family, we miss you when you're not here. And so, we're going ahead and slugging through here. If this is your first time, we're in a series, summer series called 10-Minute Sermons, and we're going through the Gospel of John. And the way it is that there will be a 10-minute countdown on the screen, and I have 10 minutes to preach. And if the timer hits zero, even if I'm not done, they're cutting the mic off and the band starts playing. So that's the deal we make. And people say, well, you're watering down the message. Well, not really. Jesus' longest sermon was about 12 minutes long. You can read it in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, in the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it in about 12 minutes. Most of Jesus' sermons were about 30 seconds to a minute long. They're called parables. They were little stories. And he was able to convey truth in very little short amounts of time. So we're going to continue to do that here. But we're going to be in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 47. So we want to go ahead and turn there. Let's get the timer on the screen. And here we go. How many Jason Bourne fans we have? We got any Jason Bourne fans in here? I love the Jason Bourne movies. If you're not familiar with Jason Bourne, the first one's called The Bourne Identity. And the movie opens up with Matt Damon floating in the Mediterranean Sea. He's got two bullet holes in his back. He's rescued by some fishermen, and he doesn't know where he is. He has amnesia. He has no idea who he is. And the whole series of movies is him going back and finding who he is. You guys, if you don't know who you are, then it's going to affect everything about you. Identity is so very important. Knowing who you are determines everything about yourself. Knowing your identity is so important if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be. And so Jesus addresses this in John chapter 8. He's talking to some Jewish people that don't like him very much. And here, John chapter 8, 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's actually where that statement comes from Jesus. The main point is this: who you are determines what you do. People come to me as a pastor and say, well, I'm a little bit worried about my next stage in life. I don't really know what to do. I have a big decision here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And they want me to tell them what to do. And I never tell them what to do. I simply ask, who are you? Because once you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. Okay? Jesus goes on. He's talking to them. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. By the way, that's Abraham, not Abraham Lincoln. That's Abraham, the father of the Jewish race. Got to get that understand. Okay? I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you've heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they said, and he had many sons. Many sons had father Abraham. Okay, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Jesus asks. If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is you don't belong to God. Remember, who you are determines determines what you do. These Jewish people were saying, no, we identify with Abraham. This is who we are. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. You're not doing what Abraham did. Therefore, your identity is not Abraham. Okay? And see, guys, there's a really profound statement that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. How many of you all believe that? If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. How many of you all believe that? Isn't that a deep and stunning truth of the Christian faith? Well, here's a question, Catalyst Christian Church. If that is true, why do we keep acting like the old one's still here? Anyone ever thought about that? If you are in Christ, and the old has gone, the old you, the old sinful, broken, pessimistic, negative you is gone and has been replaced with someone new, why do we keep acting like the old one? It's a deep question, something we need to wrestle with. Well, I think I know the answer. Whenever you're around Christian circles, you always meet somebody, you hear people talking, and they say, well, you know, I'm just sinner saved by grace. That's all I am, just sinner saved by grace. Emphasis on the sinner. I'm just sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Anybody heard anybody refer to that? I mean, that's a deep and stunning truth. I don't want to minimize the fact that we are all sinners. We are all sinners, and I don't want to minimize the grace of God because that is amazing. However, if that is your identity, if that is the way you look at yourself, that I'm a sinner, saved by grace, then you will find it very comfortable to sin, because that's what sinners do. Who you are determines what you do. See, guys, if your identity is that you are a dog, if you think that you're a dog, it's really identifying is really big right now. You know, people identify as all kinds of stuff. If you identify as a dog, you will find it very common, very ordinary to bark at the moon and pee on the floor, right? Because that's what dogs do. Well, that's your identity. Well, if your identity is that I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but still a sinner, then you'll find it very common, very easy to sin. And maybe that's our problem. See, in the book of Colossians, verse 1:1, and actually all of Paul's letters, with the exception of maybe one or two, he addresses the people that he's writing to. He's writing to people like you and me in a church. And in Colossians 1:1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's sinners saved by grace. No, it's not what it says. It says to God's holy people. As a matter of fact, this is where your English Bible lets you down. The word in the original Greek was the word saint. To the saints in the church. That's who he's writing to. He's not writing to a bunch of sinners saved by grace. He's writing to saints who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. See, if your identity is that you're a sinner saved by grace, you'll be find it very, very ordinary, very common to sin. However, if your identity is that you're a saint, how Paul addresses you, then all of a sudden everything changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. If you realize that you are a saint, the old is gone. Sinner saved by grace is gone. The new identity has come. And guys, when you take on your new identity as a saint, you hear the scriptures differently. You act differently. You make different decisions because that is who you are. You are a saint, not a sinner. If you want to know what your identity is, we'll make it real simple. I'll make it real simple. You want to know what your identity is? What is the number one thing in your life? What is the one thing that you hold on to after you sacrifice everything else? What is of utmost importance in your life? If you can answer that question, that thing is what you worship. Whether it's God, whether it's sex, whether it's money, whether it's your church, whether it's your family, whatever it is, whatever you hold on to when you sacrificed everything else, that is your God. And that is what you worship. And what you worship determines who you are. And what you are determines what you do. Who you worship determines who you are. And who you are determines what you do. That's why we have to get a hold of what we are. What we are. We have to get a hold of, am I a saint? Because if I'm a saint, I'm going to raise my children very differently than a sinner saved by grace would. If I'm a saint, I'm going to spend money a lot differently than a sinner saved by grace would. If I'm going to speak to people, I'm going to speak to people as a saint, very different than a sinner saved by grace would. Right? If I'm going to make decisions about my career or what I'm going to do for the next 30 years and my identity is a saint, well, I better start doing what a saint does, not what a sinner saved by grace does. See, identity, who we worship, determines who we are, and who we are determines what we do. So if you're wrestling with a big decision right now, if you're trying to figure out your path in life, if you're wrestling with what to do, ask yourself who you worship. That'll tell you who you are. And once you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Because our actions flow from our identity. Our actions flow from our identity. And this is what Jesus says here in John 8:47. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. See, there were a whole bunch of people back then that were deluding themselves, thinking that they were actually following Abraham. They're actually good, and they weren't. Because their actions didn't show it. Their actions show their true identity. They were children of the devil, what Jesus said. Pretty harsh, isn't it? Well, it's pretty true. If Jesus was to walk in here, Calvary Christian Church, what would he say about us? Would we say we're followers of Jesus? Would he look at us and say, no, you're not? Because if you're followers of me, you do what I was doing. You would prioritize what I prioritize. What breaks my heart would break your heart. Because if your identity is that you're a child of the King, and your identity is that you're one of mine, then you will do the things I did. That's what Jesus would say. So what is your identity, Calvary Christian Church? What is it? Are you a sinner, saved by grace? Or have you taken hold of everything that Jesus died for you to do? Have you taken hold of your identity, that you're a saint who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ? You have. And I say as a church, we go out and live it out. We always do live our identity, don't we? Let's go out and live who we say we are. Saints. Not sinners saved by